This is The Good Fight with Barbara McGuigan on EWTN Radio. It's all about saints, past, present, and future. You can be a saint too. Listen and learn. Now, here's your host, Barbara McGuigan.
A good day to you and to each of our esteemed listeners. Welcome to The Good Fight. Barbara McGuigan, finally back on God's airwaves because I'm alive and grateful more than ever before. On November 16th, my husband and I tested positive for COVID-19. He had a headache and chills, and he was given a Z-Pak to prevent pneumonia and was fine as wine in a couple days. As for me, I was going downhill fast. I had the sense that I needed to brace for a battle, and what better way to fight than to be united with Jesus on his cross? I went to Calvary. I had no idea what this cross would be like, so the struggle became a very personal one for me. What a privilege to be permitted to embrace our Savior in his suffering and isolation. I can't begin to say what an eerie feeling it is when your husband drops you off at a hospital entrance only for COVID positives and leaves. I was put in a storage room on a gurney for lack of rooms in the hospital and began to wait for someone, anyone. Due to low oxygen levels at one point, I really wasn't quite sure why I was sitting in a storage room. When I was wheeled off to my room, finally, the nurses assigned to me were rushing around in their personal protection equipment, the PPE, you hear that all the time, and I was quickly hooked up to oxygen and an IV was put in my arm. Suddenly, you know, I began to have more clarity, which only seemed to intensify what I, a wimpy warrior, had to face head on. Little did I know, this was going to be the drill for almost the rest of the next 2 weeks. COVID-19 was now my reality. How my heart began to break for the millions of souls who tried to fight the good fight and beat COVID, and for all the souls who were unprepared to die in a coma, and for all the families who lost their beloved spouses and children, grandmas and grandpas, so brutally, some with lightning speed. My nurses told me at that time there were only 27 COVID patients. This was before the surge after Thanksgiving and what we're experiencing right now, at least in California. They told me that half of these 27 patients are intubated and half of them will die. I heard code blues quite often. In those first few days, the reality that I just might die was heart-wrenching. After all, COVID-19 was not created to be a minor skirmish, my brothers and sisters. COVID was created in Wuhan, China, in a bio lab. That's a biological warfare lab. Millions of innocent people will be wiped off the face of the earth without our enemies even firing a shot. COVID-19 attacked my oxygen levels. My lungs had shadows of pneumonia, and the attack on my stomach, my GI tract, could only be classified as brutal. Sometimes God's permissive will, you know, permits us to face evil. He even lets us be broken, but this never means he's not working. As I whispered hundreds of Jesus, I trust in you, and hundreds of all for the honor and glory of God, my precious adult children, Missy, Shelley, Colleen, Christian, and his wife, Kara, knew and were fully prepared to call on heaven and earth, and they set out to do just that. Therefore, to all the future saints, which we're all called to be, who lifted me and all COVID patients up to the Lord, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thanks to EWTN, of course, and to Jack Williams, who asked for prayers for the soul of dear Andrew, God rest his soul, and for me. Thanks to my sweetheart friend, Johnette Williams, for lifting me up with her mighty, powerful prayer on the radio. Johnette is a masterful prayer. Thanks to Tom Price for sending me the MP3s to hear Jerry and Debbie's concern and for others who wrote to me through Tom. Thanks to Father Basil Harnish, a new Norbertine priest from St. Michael's Abbey, who was called by my dear daughter-in-law, Kara, to get to my bedside as soon as possible to give me the sacraments. No Catholic priest has ever seen the COVID section of this hospital that I was in. Father made a call to the highest administrative level to say, I've had COVID, which he had, I'm immune, and I'm on my way right now to give your patient, Barbara McWiggin, the sacraments. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. And I bet all those on the floor watching him suit up in his PPE couldn't believe their eyes. You see, the Norbertines, all 85 of them, with seven more men who were welcomed this Christmas Eve as novices, well, they're better known as the powerhouse. They pray and they act. Father drove over an hour to reach the hospital. Thanks also to my spiritual advisor, Father Leo Chalano, a member of the powerhouse, who touched base each day and prayed with me in my darkest hours. Thanks to dear Father Spitzer for including me in his holy masses, and I think many of those were at EWTN. And also to Father Bill Casey, who prayed masses, Father Jonathan Meyer, and Father John Hollowell. You know John, Father Hollowell, who knows the meaning of suffering. And last but not least, to Father Bill Watson, who offered holy masses and remained with me in spirit during this trial. Thanks to our priests for saying all the remote holy masses and patriotic rosaries that was a lifeline for me in isolation. You see, this is what I figured out. When our awesome God appears to be silent in the darkness, and the demons try to convince you that you are not loved but abandoned, this is precisely when our good God uses the hands and faces and words of his priests to speak to our mind, heart, and soul. Fearless Father Basil the Great is what I call him now. He could see my brokenness, my broken hands, my confusion, and even my suffering. He well knew that only God has the power to fix what was broken in me. So he brought me God. What a gift to be anointed, to go to confession, and most importantly, to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. It was very cute of him because before he left, he said to me, Barbara, no one is going to give you a hug in here with positive COVID, but I will. And I thought, such compassion. I said, Father, hopefully you won't get it again. And then the floodgates of powerful prayer opened. So many friends, especially Dr. Nicole, my dear daughter Colleen's great friend, who kept us in perspective, and the great souls all over the United States. Former Good Fight guests, Patrick McChrystal in Ireland, whom you will meet today, folks from Australia, Rome, and Canada, nuns in convents, and monks in monasteries who didn't even know my name. I thought of Exodus 14:14, which says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Brothers and sisters, when we call on the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, when that power is released, God acts. You all know that Saint Joan of Arc is one of my favorite saints. She said two things that I always recall, especially in the hospital. Act, and God will act. I called myself a wimpy warrior at the top of the show because the last couple days in the hospital were the worst. There was no light at the end of the tunnel until they saw to change my medicine. So I was reduced to tears a few times, not out of despair, but frustration. I longed to go home. Always at the top of her game, my dear daughter Colleen found a medal of Saint Joan of Arc that said, a strong person isn't the one who doesn't cry. A strong person is the one who sheds tears for a moment, picks up her sword, and fights again. So that is me, thrilled to be with you right now. I picked up my sword. My husband and precious children and grandchildren kept vigil every single day. My incredible nurses, always equally kind, equally intelligent, and sincerely concerned, deserve the moon. I have never felt so blessed and so loved. One of my favorite writers, Carol Houselander, said, "No amount of virtue could make a saint of one wanting in love. Love is the heartbeat of sanctity. Without it, virtue is dead." End quote. I thank my gracious God for continuing to give me the breath to breathe and the strength to continue serving Him. And I thank each and every one of you for possessing the love, the heartbeat of sanctity, to send your special prayers to heaven on my behalf. May we continue to remember all the casualties in this pandemic and their families. May we be confident that our merciful God will act to sustain them. And may the Mother of God keep them secure in her mantle. Amen. And now I have the great honor of introducing to you a unique, distinct, and unrepeatable gentleman who hails from County Mayo. I think I'm right. Patrick McChrystal is the Executive Director of Human Life International in Ireland. He is married to Therese, a wonder woman and mother of many. Therese just delivered yet another Irish beauty a few weeks ago, who is so loved, this little new beauty, by her eight other siblings. Patrick and Therese, powerhouses in their own right, gave me such strength and courage to stay in the fight against the enemy. Patrick called to give me four important scriptures that I would like him to share with you. And so, Patrick, I want to welcome you back, good man, to the good fight.
I'm delighted to join you, Barbara. It's been a while since I was last on the show, and it's great to be back.
Well, I'm thrilled, and I won't forget what you said to me. You called me in the hospital when I asked you to tell me, because that's all I could think about, that the baby was going to be born on this certain Friday. And when I asked you, I said, "Patrick, is this new baby a girl or a boy?" You said, "Hold on, I have to go ask Therese." Do you remember saying that?
Yes. Oh, I do, surely. And whenever I say that, ladies are absolutely horrified in the street when they ask me, and I pull out my cell phone and pretend to ring my wife. Hold on till I find out.
I'll tell you, it just doubled me over. I don't think I laughed so hard in that hospital than when you told me that. Well, you helped me, Patrick, and really, I'm so grateful to God for you during those dark days in the hospital. You helped me so much by reminding me of certain special scriptures for victory in the Catholic life. I mean, you were focusing on victory. Can you share those with all of us? I would love to hear those again.
Yes, well, I'd be absolutely delighted to do that. And just before I start, Barbara, for those of your listeners who would actually like to actually print them off for themselves, the scriptures are posted on the front page of our humanlife.ie website in Ireland, www.humanlife.ie. And right up there at the top, there's the scriptures for victory and a letter that I'm sending this very week to all our supporters in Ireland entitled Fear Not. And both those documents are right there. But so as I speak the scriptures on the air, anyone who cares to just to go and see them for themselves and print them off, they're all there on the web. But these scriptures are ones that God has given me over the years as I've sought to walk with Him in Christ in faith and gone through and walked through many emergencies, problems.
Well, let me tell you, Patrick, hold that thought. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back. You're listening to The Good Fight, my friends, on EWTN Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. For more information about The Good Fight, go to EWTN.com and click on Radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to The Good Fight. And before we go to Patrick and his scriptures for victory in the Catholic life, I just want to mention something that's new from EWTN Publishing. It's a brand new book called A Biblical Way of Praying the Mass, The Eucharistic Wisdom of Venerable Bruno Lanteri by Father Timothy Gallagher. I mean, how many times have you attended Mass and desired that it more fully touched your heart? To help you fully tap into the abundance of grace offered at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, Father Timothy Gallagher resurrects the teachings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, who developed a biblical way of praying the Mass that transforms it into a true prayer of the heart. What Father will show us is how to humbly seek forgiveness like the tax collector, how to listen to God's word with the hunger of a disciple, how to receive Holy Communion with the heart of a lover. These are just a few of the things. So here's the title again, A Biblical Way of Praying the Mass, The Eucharistic Wisdom of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. It's available now at EWTNRC.com. Buy Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com. Okay, Patrick, now we're back to you, and I'm thrilled for you to talk about the scriptures. Go ahead.
Okay, Barbara, thank you very much. Well, in the last 30 years since I came into a renewed faith in my Catholic lifestyle, these are scriptures that the Lord has burnt into my soul as I've walked through many conflicts, radio debates, public speaking situations,
yes,
proclaiming the Church's teaching on life, faith, and family, and indeed on my personal life. When I turned to the scriptures, there were many days where these scriptures jumped out of the page at me, and I wrote them down. And I found that these scriptures that I'm going to share, I shared four with you on the phone while you were in hospital. There are actually 10 that I have, and they're all listed on that document, as I mentioned, on our website. But these scriptures, I have found, dispel fear, dissolve problems, give peace, they strengthen faith, they foster confidence, and they give you a good night's sleep.
And the first That's one, important.
The first one is Psalm 37, verse 23. And God gave me this scripture, and he would not let me pass over it until I prayed over it for literally several months. Scripture says, the Lord guides the steps of a man, makes safe the path of the one he loves. Even though he stumble, he will never fall, for the Lord holds him by the hand. And I was communicating that first scripture to you, Barbara, as you lay suffering on your hospital bed, that the Lord was, and I prayed it for you, that he would make safe your path. Because the scripture says he makes safe the path of the one he loves. And then it goes on, even though he stumble, he or she may stumble, he or she will never fall, but the Lord holds him by the hand. And I was trying to communicate to you that I believe that the Lord was holding you by his hand. That was the first one, Psalm 37, verse 23. And then the second one, this one is Isaiah 41:10, and this was the most read scripture quote on the internet in 2018, according to one website. And it's a brilliant one. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously around you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And
beautiful.
Just consider yourself on that hospital bed, Barbara, or indeed any of our listeners, any of your listeners, in any difficult situation that anybody might find themselves in. And I've been in plenty, and we're all in the same boat. That the Lord would say to you and to me, and in every one of us who's listening to the show today, no matter what your situation, The Lord is saying to you, fear not, for I am with you. And that "for I am with you" is really important, because when the apostles were afraid in the boat when the storm rose, he said to them the same words, fear not, for I am with you. And he was trying to communicate to them, as he's trying to communicate to us, that if God's saying, I am with you, then there is no basis for fear. He's specifically instructing us, fear not, for I am with you. And this is deeply relevant to the fear and the terror across America and Ireland and the world right now in this whole COVID situation, where everyone around us, and virtually everyone, is in a state of fear and terror. In the middle of that, the Lord is speaking to each one of us. Fear not, for I am with you. And there's the principle, for I am with you.
Yes.
And then the next verse of that scripture says, do not look anxiously around you, for I am your God. And there's a case here to say sorry to God when we find ourselves looking anxiously around us, either literally or figuratively. Oh dear, what's going to happen to me in this situation? Oh dear, what happens if that happens? Then what's going to happen to me if this happens? Oh dear, this is a tricky situation. I don't know how that person is going to react to me if I say or do this. Oh dear, what's going to happen to my wife and family if this happens? It could be anything. And the Lord is saying to each one of us, do not look anxiously around you, for I am your God. And he's giving us the tools to dispel fear and to dispel anxiety, especially when we sit and meditate on this scripture, on these four that I'm sharing with you today. And then the same verse is Isaiah 41:10. That's the first half of it. Then it says, and I love this, there's three promises. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, if God, the creator of the universe and all creation and anything that ever was, is saying to you personally, I will strengthen you, by God, you will be strengthened. If he's promising to you, I will strengthen you. And if God of the universe and all creation says, I will help you, then you're not going to get half help. You are being helped indeed. And if God of the universe is saying to you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, well, God forgive us if we think to ourselves, he's not able to hold me with his uphold me with his righteous right hand.
Yeah.
If God, and here's this theme, the right hand coming through again. And in the four scriptures that I shared with you, God's hand featured in every one of them. That's probably not a coincidence. It wasn't something I designed. But in the first scripture, it says the Lord holds him by the hand. And here in Isaiah 41:10, it says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Yeah.
And he's giving us exactly the remedy that you and I and every person we know and every person across, one of the 7 billion people across this planet needs to hear right now, fear not, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously around you, for I am your God.
Amen.
That's number two. Do you want me to continue?
Yes, yeah. 2 minutes and give us two more.
All right, two more in 2 minutes. The next one from Psalm 19, verse 6, about victory, and it states, I am sure the Lord will give victory to his anointed, will reply from his holy heaven with the mighty victory of his right hand. And there's that right hand thing again. But it's talking about God's mighty victory in your life, in my life, in all our lives, in all our listeners' lives. But God, if God gives us a victory, it's a mighty victory indeed. It's not half a one. And it says, I am sure the Lord will give victory to his anointed. Well, who's his anointed? Every person who's baptized, every Catholic or every Christian who's baptized, you are his anointed. And if you and I are in a state of grace in particular, then the floodgates our gates are wide open to receive the fullness of grace that he has for each one of us. And we are called to be a people of victory. And in the middle of this global COVID crisis, every Catholic, every Christian is called to stand on God's word and be configured for victory.
Boy, that's just beautiful. Now, we need one more for sure. My brothers and sisters, you're listening to The Good Fight on EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. We're listening to Patrick McChrystal, the Executive Director of HLI Ireland. Stay with us.
This is The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. For more information about The Good Fight, go to EWTN.com and click on Radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to The Good Fight. Before we go back to Patrick, I want to make sure that you know about the Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim. Anna and Matt start your day with news and excellent, fascinating interviews, all, of course, with a Catholic perspective. So tuning in Monday morning would be a great way to start your week. That's the Sunrise Morning Show every Monday through Friday morning at 6 Eastern Time. Okay, Patrick, let's get back. I love all these scriptures, and it thrilled me so much. And I remember this from being in the hospital, where you reminded me that that I'm one of the anointed. You know, that God will give victory to his anointed. The word anointed, and I would like to think it was the Holy Spirit who kept bringing this to my mind. The word anointed is the one that stayed with me. So I thank you for that. And let's go to the next one, too.
Well, the fourth one that I'll mention today is from Psalm 145, verse 15. And it says, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing." And that psalm really captures the state of every living creature on the face of the planet and all creation, because everything receives its life and its breath and its sustenance from God. "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand," and that key phrase, "you open your hand," there's the pivot, there's the God action verb. He opens his hand, and you and I can look right into his face and say, "Lord, your promise says, your word says that you open your hand, you provide, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. And I need your help right now, whether it's in this COVID situation, whether it's in my financial situation or health or anything at all, the loss of the sacraments, the loss of the Eucharist, it could be anything that's concerning us whatsoever, personal, work, anything, family, anything, that we can use that scripture." And by, it's like pulling the handle on a jackpot machine. And you know what, I've got them in Ireland, I'm sure you've got them in America.
These machines
where you put sort of like a dollar bill or whatever, a coin in, and you pull the big handle. Well, every time you use that scripture, it's like pulling back the handle and out comes the jackpot of $1,000. It's like, I guarantee that if anyone takes this scripture or one of these four scriptures or all four of them, and you sit with the Lord with them and you give them up to him, you say, "Lord, this is your promise to me, and you don't break your promises." I guarantee that if you keep at them and at them and at them, enough, and you're in a state of grace, and if someone's not in a state of grace who's listening, to get themselves to confession, and if that's not easily available, just to say, "Lord, I repent of my sins and the depths of my being. Until I get confession, I am sorry. Please forgive me." And that you remove the obstacles, the blocks to the flow of grace between you and God, he will definitely show up through the power of these scriptures, because we're told in scriptures that the word of God is like a sword. It's like a two-edged sword. It separates bone from marrow. And these four scriptures are only four of many in the scriptures. They're four of ten that have particularly worked powerfully in my life. And I'd be more than happy to come back on again and talk about the other ones as well. And
yes,
how they acted. And there's so many marvelous stories that how God acted in my life and in our lives. But those are the scriptures, and they're there at humanlife.ie.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, Yes, I want to have you back. Are you kidding? Of course I do. So now, here's another thing that I just was so impressed by, and this we can get on your website as well. You wrote a beautiful personal message at Christmas, Patrick, and in big letters at the top, it's "Fear not." And so, I mean, when I saw this, I wasn't too long out of the hospital, and it was the two words I probably needed to see the most, because, you know, we sometimes we're bombarded with fear by the media, their messages. We're bombarded with fear. And I want you to tell us what we are not to fear and what we are called to. And you also mentioned that our Irish ancestors endure the suppression of the mass, you know, because one of your points was that we can't go to mass. I mean, I can't go to mass in California. If you're over 60, you can't go to mass in California. And I mean, they ask you, please, please, please stay home. So can you address that, please, Patrick?
Yes, the Lord has already given us the tools to cope. 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year, we're told, fear not. Yeah. And you and I and every one of our listeners today are called by Christ not to be afraid of COVID, viruses, vaccines, hospitalization, isolation, loss of the Eucharist, loss of the sacraments, death, potential state coercion, fear-mongering, loss of job, economy collapse, globalist control, or loss of loved ones. There's nothing to be afraid of. Christ says to us, fear not. And you talked about the loss of the Eucharist, Barbara.
Well, yes.
Our Irish ancestors, they lost the Mass. They were suppressed. It was taken away from them. And they clung to the rosary. And if you've got the rosary and scripture and Saint Joseph, you are in a great situation. And the Lord knows if we get denied the Eucharist, he knows he'll make up the difference. And this year has been ordained the year of Saint Joseph by Pope Francis. The rosary, when Cromwell was dragging the Irish from their homes, he reported back to England that he couldn't get the Irish to stop using what he called those damned beads. And they would come out of their homes holding the beads up high in the air in defiance.
Good for them.
They might rob them of their home, but by God, he was not going to rob them of their faith in Our Lady and in the rosary. And it was the rosary that brought the Irish through, because many of them weren't educated. They didn't know the scriptures. They weren't able to read, but they had the rosary. And it is, St. Padre Pio said that the rosary is the weapon. And when he was on his deathbed, if you're on your deathbed and somebody said to him, Padre, say something to us. If you're on your deathbed, you're not going to talk about nilly-willy things. You're going to talk about something significant. And his words as he lay in his deathbed was, pray the rosary and pray it often. The devil tries to destroy this prayer, but he will never succeed. It is the prayer of he who triumphs over everybody and everything. So we have and then St. Joseph. St. Joseph is fantastic. St. Joseph is like this newfound treasure. Well, he's not newfound, but he's come to light in a new way. And my life has changed by reading a book by Father Donald Calloway, where he has written a book, A 33-Day Consecration to St. Joseph. And I couldn't encourage your listeners to get the book. I've done the consecration three times, or twice, actually, and most recently just with all my wife and children. And it has transformed my life. So all of a sudden, this big manly presence has just stepped onto my landscape. Now, Jesus was there and Mary was there. And that was really, that's like pivotal, really important. But when I did the consecration to St. Joseph, it was like the picture became complete. And now this man, terror of demons, is standing right full square at our sides when we consecrate ourselves to him. And Father Calloway does a masterful job in explaining why we need to consecrate ourselves to St. Joseph and what the saints have said about devotion to St. Joseph down through the centuries. So I couldn't say enough. Now, I'm enjoying myself, Barbara, here, and when you enjoy yourself, the time flies. How long have we got left?
Well, we're doing pretty good, probably about 15 minutes, but you're doing a great job. And I want to ask you something. I never knew that St. Joseph was referred to as one of the things he was referred to, terror of demons. I mean, look at what we're up against, Patrick. You know what you're up against in Ireland. We know what we're up against in the United States. I mean, it feels like we're surrounded by assassins. So can you talk about that a bit? I really did not know that.
Yeah, well, this is the saints of the church have referred to this concept multiple times over, and they're all in the book. And I could pull out a few of the quotes maybe for the next time we come on the air. But he is the highest saint in heaven, the church teaches. Mm-hmm. All the other saints of the church became holy because of their service of Jesus and their service to Jesus. But Saint Joseph was the only saint who bade the Savior what to do.
Wow.
Did you get that?
Yes.
He was the only one who bade the Savior what to do. So if you go to St. Joseph and you ask him for something, if he asks the Savior is not going to refuse. And Our Lady said, I think it was to St. Maurice of Port Morris, one of those saints, she said to him, and this is like approved by the church, or, you know, it's one of the saints of the church, that nothing gives her more pleasure than a soul's devotion to St. Joseph.
Oh.
So he is the saint who is the patron saint of everything. It's, you know, St. Anthony is the patron saint of lost things, and all the different saints have their thing. But St. Joseph is such a high place in heaven that he can obtain for you or I anything. It's like cream, it's with wee buns to him, as we say in Ireland. And not only that, the demons are so afraid of him that they're terrified of even his sleep.
Oh,
and in the book,
gosh,
Father Donald Calloway explains that the demons are terrified of St. Joseph's sleep because it was during his sleep that the angels appeared to him and gave him the message to take the Savior out of Egypt or to wherever to flee out of Egypt. So even when he's asleep, they're terrified of him. And so the Pope and the Church placed this title, Terror of Demons, officially into the Church's litany to St. Joseph.
Wow. See, I never hit on that because I just, that is really, really wonderful. You talk about in this wonderful letter, now you said we could get this Christmas letter. Will you tell us the website one more time?
Yes, www.humanlife.ie.
Okay, that's easy.
And you can understand my Irish accent, humanlife.ie.
Yes.
And it's right there at the top of the homepage, the letter, the personal letter, Fear Not, from Patrick McChrystal, and those scriptures. And in it, what I said is that for the last 9 months, this is my first time to directly address the COVID situation, not just in Ireland, but that's identical in every country of the world, and that tells you something. And I and my colleagues, we've watched and prayed and listened and waited. And we've sought God's face, and we've been awaiting his instructions. And God has a battle plan. He has a way forward. This is a very exciting time to be a Catholic and to exercise our faith and to watch his power unfold. And you and I, Barbara, and every one of your listeners, I believe that the Lord would say to every one of us in the face of this whole terror and fear, he would say to us, he would say to us, let me just speak as if it was God speaking to us. I believe he would say something like this to us.
Okay.
I see everything the enemy is doing in secret. This is God speaking. I see everything the enemy is doing in secret. Follow my instructions step by step and put your trust in me.
Yes.
Do not be dismayed. Do not be dismayed by the perceived magnitude of the enemy. Follow my instructions step by step and leave the rest me.
Wow.
And that's what I think God would be saying to every one of us. And what if they are accurate or nearly accurate to what God would be saying to us, what he would be saying is to stop fixing your eyes on what the enemy is doing around us, or the fear or the terror, and instead turn to me. Fix your eyes on me, the author and perfecter of your faith. In the scripture it says, fix your eyes on me, and then the sin that clings so easily will fall off. When we turn to God, maybe some of your listeners haven't done this for some time, that when we turn to God, and, you know, we can have a statue of Our Lady or St. Joseph, and we can use that. We're not turning to the statue. We're not praying to the statue or the picture. But we're using it as an instrument then that from our soul, we're looking from the eyes of the heart, from our soul, right into God's face. And when you and I do that, it's like the light of his face falls upon us. And the scripture tells us that let the light of your face fall upon us, O Lord. The way that when he was transfigured on the top of the mountain, his face became so bright that James and John could not look at it. But when we turn to the Lord, we're like bathing in the light, like the sunlight of his love. And as we do that, he then gives us our instructions. So I think that the call to holiness, or at least part of the call to holiness, is the struggle to sit at Christ's feet, to listen and not to move until he says, go.
Makes sense.
Did you get that?
Yes, yeah. It makes sense.
And there, all of a sudden, we're not doing it in our own human strength. We're listening to his instructions. And that scripture that I gave you at the start, he said, I will strengthen you. It's not my or your human strength. I will help you.
Yes.
I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And if we're able to tap into that grace and power, all of a sudden it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Amen.
And all of a sudden you let another Christ on the earth. And indeed, Father Calloway says, anyone who consecrates themselves to St. Joseph becomes as another St. Joseph on the face of the earth. And I can't think of anything that the demons would fear most. So what I'm trying to convey to you and your listeners today is that we are, as Catholics and as Christians, we're configured for victory. Victory is, failure or loss or defeat is not an option. We are configured for victory. We're made for it. We just have to step into it and lay hold of it. It's already been gained for us on the cross. You and I just have to exercise it. It's a bit like knowing the Our Father, the prayer of the Our Father, and not praying it. It's not going to do you a lot of good. But if you know the Our Father and you actually pray it out, then you're getting down to business. We can have the tools in our armory, but we can be like a soldier that doesn't take a sword out. We have to take the sword out and use it. And Jesus promises that the gates of hell will not prevail against us.
Amen.
It's us who are on the offensive. It's the gates of hell won't stand up to you and me. It's not the other way around. And we just have to have a paradigm shift and turn the whole thing right round and claim the victory that you and I have, because the devil wants to cause us to be blind to our power and our victory and the grace that Christ has given us. And not one iota of this is down to your or my merit. It's the all coming 100.00% from Christ himself. We just have to pick up those swords and those shields and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and all those things from Ephesians 6. And when we do that in confidence, the darkness cannot coexist with the light. As we move forward, the light has to fall back. And it's a bit like, you know, the devil, we're told, was prowling around like a roaring lion. And he can come right up to your face and he can be growling right into your nose. But if you stand your ground and you do not back off, and in fact you say back off in the name of Jesus, he has to back off. He has no option, because you and I have the power in the name of Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That's Jesus' own promise. So that's what I'm trying to say. So we have the tools for victory. How many minutes have we left? Because I could go on for another while, Barbara, and I don't want to use up all your
no,
time.
No, everything you're saying is so important. But I want to ask you this question. We hear folks talking about this great reset that is scheduled to begin in 2021. Yes. What are these folks trying to do, Patrick? And what is the remedy? We need the tools. I want you to hear your tools, too.
Yeah. Well, some of your visitors, some of your listeners may have heard of the Great Reset, spearheaded by a man called Klaus Schwab from this group called the World Economic Forum. There's a lot of videos about him, and it's really just an attempted power grab by forces of communism. And they're trying to create a utopia without God where everyone will be dependent on the state. But we know that communism has failed before and it will fail again. And when you identify it as it really is a communistic movement, then all of a sudden we start realizing, well, hey, we've got the tools. God has given us, the Catholic Church has the tools to handle this. Because I think it was Leo XIII, he wrote an encyclical, I think it was Leo XIII, on communism. And in that encyclical, he nominated and asserted that St. Joseph was the church's patron in the universal fight against communism. And all of a sudden, here we are in the middle of St. Joseph's year in the face of this reset. So I would call it the not-so-great reset. So you've got St. Joseph. Then you've got Holy Face Devotion, which was another show, really, Barbara. But really, heaven has revealed to two nuns, two Carmelite nuns, Sister Mary of St. Peter, and now Blessed Maria Perina de Micheli, the power of Jesus' holy face. And in the revelations, and they're all Vatican approved, or I wouldn't be even mentioning them, in the revelations to Blessed Perina, Jesus and Mary revealed that Jesus' holy face was heaven's remedy, the atheistic communism, which is what we are facing right now. So there's got Holy Face Devotion, you've got St. Joseph and consecration to him, and I couldn't encourage your listeners to get Father Don Calloway's book. I couldn't encourage them enough. Then the rosary, which we've already talked about, and the scriptures that we've already just at least touched upon today. And then you've got the five first Saturdays. The five first Saturdays are heaven's template to appease God and to make reparation for the offenses of men, which will mitigate the justice, the wrath of God's justice, because the world has largely turned away from God and the truth, and heaven has taken upon itself to reveal to us through Our Lady of Fatima this remedy, the five for Saturdays. But then and out of Lourdes, Our Lady asked for public rosary processions out in public. And now, if ever there was a time, this is the time to do public rosary processions. And I've been honored to have been part of one this last four for Saturdays in Northern Ireland, where we walk from one church to another. It's about a mile, and we pray the rosary out loud publicly, and we do the meditations, and with a statue of Our Lady at the front. And St. Louis de Montfort tells us that public prayer is far more powerful than private prayer. And there's a sacrifice in public prayer because you're showing your face. You're revealing yourself as being a believer to the world to the world that's going by. And I don't know what it's like in America and California, but in Ireland, people here they have to gulp and think twice before stepping out on the street with a rosary of a lady so in case the neighbors might see them, and what goodness knows what the neighbors might think. But the gloves are off right now, and this is the time. If there ever was a time, this is the time to step out in honor of Our Lady. And I guarantee you, you will see miracles. If you start doing processions, we had three miracles the first day we did this procession. That was about 2 months ago. Without going into the details, but there was one man had a big conversion to faith to the rosary. Another one got a miraculous ticket to Fatima the following Sunday after praying for months, for years to get to Fatima. And there was a third miracle. I actually can't remember what it was, but the three happened on the one day. And it was a very simple undertaking, five decades of the rosary in public between two churches and a mile apart. So public confession, praying the scriptures, turning the whole thing about prayers and thanksgiving, because prayers breaks principalities and powers, and there's something really good about singing. And it's really interesting that the powers that be that want to clamp down the church is forbidding singing. And there has to be a spiritual dimension to that, because singing prayers to God, it's like praying twice, as St. Augustine said. There's something powerful about singing, because the demons hate it when we're full of joy and we're giving praise to God. And the psalm says, that our enemies are foiled in the praises of God's enemies are foiled in the praises of His people. And there's something about singing, even with one or two others.
That's a beautiful thing.
About
Patrick, yeah. We're running out of time, but I want to ask you one question. I bought a couple of these consecration to Saint Joseph because I want to read through the whole thing myself for Christmas, and I got one for my brother-in-law who is not long for this world. He has his body is riddled with cancer. If he just read, because he can't focus very easily anymore, but if he just read the first 33 days, the first 33 pages, would that be sufficient for him in this book, Consecration to St. Joseph?
Go straight to the consecration prayer. Do the consecration prayer straight off on day one, and then you can catch up over if you want. That's what I did. I couldn't wait. I just went and did it.
Patrick, I'm telling you, you are a prince of a man, a treasure of Mother Church, and thank you so much for taking up the standard to fight for God's unborn, newborn, and longborn. You and dear Therese are such impeccable witnesses to you want to protect and safeguard the innocent. So thank you so much for being on The Good Fight, Patrick. We were all so blessed. And I just want to tell the folks that in the next hour, Mary Doudrow Gordon will be with us to share the story of how a devoted and faithful French wife can actually save marriages. This is a good book. You're listening to The Good Fight, my brothers and sisters, and stay with us for the second hour. God bless you, and thank you again, Patrick.